Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, and this is the month of June. The first Sunday of June has already gone by and another Sunday is round the corner. And this reminds me how Bhagwan used to often visit the auditorium of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in the Prashantinilam campus and speak to the students as the academic year begins. The Lord so eager to impart the education that He really wants to give to the new ones, the education that will make their life even as they study the subjects in the college which will help them to earn a living. And in the later years, Swami started giving these discourses in the Sai Kulwant Hall itself so that all can benefit from them. Just to give you a glimpse of how Bhagwan used to coach students, especially the newcomers, in this month of June. Here is a short 5-minute clip of a discourse that Swami delivered in the second week of June in 1996. And the subject was discipline.
కనుక పరులకు ఉపకారమైనటువంటి యొక్క మార్గంలో మన క్రమశిక్షణను అనుసరించాలి. కనుక నేను ఇది ప్రారంభం నుంచినే స్టార్ట్ అర్లీ డ్రైవ్ స్లోలీ రీచ్ సేఫ్లీ అని.
డిసిప్లిన్ ఇస్ నీడెడ్ ఈవెన్ వైల్ హెల్పింగ్ అదర్స్. సచ్ డిసిప్లిన్ మస్ట్ బి కల్టివేటెడ్ ఇన్ యంగ్ ఏజ్. And that is the reason Swami often says, start early, drive slowly, and reach safely.
ఈ యొక్క లేత వయస్సు నుండి ఈ క్రమశిక్షణ అత్యవసరం. కానీ నిజముగా ఈ పిల్లలకు మాత్రమే కాదు, అధికారులకు కూడాను, అధ్యాపకులకు కూడాను, పౌరులకు కూడాను ఈ క్రమశిక్షణ అత్యవసరం. పెద్దలను చూసినప్పుడు ఏ విధంగా మనము గౌరవించాలి, ఎవరి ముందు ఏ విధంగా మనం కూర్చోవాలి, ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క చిన్న చిన్న విషయం ఎందుకు మనం క్రమశిక్షణను చక్కగా పాటించాలి.
డిసిప్లిన్ ఇస్ అ మస్ట్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ చిల్డ్రన్ బట్ ఆల్సో ఫర్ ఆల్ అడల్ట్స్ ఇంక్లూడింగ్ టీచర్స్, ఆఫీషియల్స్ అండ్ ఇండీడ్ ఎవ్రీ సింగిల్ సిటిజన్. Discipline is needed in small matters such as how to greet a person, how to show respect to elders, as also when to stand up and when one can be seated while in the presence of others.
చాలా మంది చిన్న పిల్లలు కూర్చుంటుంటారు, ఒక విధమైన ఏరో మాదిరి కూర్చుంటారు. అనగా ఈ విధంగా కూర్చోకూడదు, చక్కగా కూర్చోవాలి. ఎందుకంటే స్పైనల్ కాలము స్ట్రైట్ గా ఉంటున్నప్పుడు మన థాట్ డైరెక్ట్ గా బుద్ధికి పోయి చేరుతుంది.
Many children slouch while sitting. This is a bad habit. Sitting erect is a must for stimulating good thoughts and improving the intellect. That is the best way to achieve rapid concentration.
ఇక్కడ మనకు స్పైనల్ కాలం ఉంటుండాలి. ఈ స్పైనల్ కాలంలో 33 రింగ్స్ ఉంటున్నాయి, 33 రింగులు. ఇందులో బిట్వీన్ 9 అండ్ 12 ఈ రెండింటి మధ్యలో ఉన్న సుషుమ్నానాడి అని, అక్కడ సక్రమైన రీతిగా ఇది పోయినట్టే కుండలిని శక్తి ఈ యొక్క సహస్రార పద్మకు స్ట్రైట్ గా పోయి చేరిపోతుంది.
దేర్ ఆర్ 33 రింగ్స్ ఇన్ ద స్పైనల్ కాలం అండ్ లొకేటెడ్ బిట్వీన్ ద 9th అండ్ ద 12th రింగ్స్ ఇస్ ద సుషుమ్నా నాడి ఆర్ అ వైటల్ ప్యాసేజ్. ఇఫ్ సిటింగ్ పోస్చర్ ఇస్ ఇరెక్ట్, Kundalini Shakti or energy of consciousness, whose base is at the bottom, can flow easily and directly to the top, reaching its destination, Sahasrara, often described as a lotus with 1,000 petals.
ఈ కుండలిని శక్తి అంటే ఏమిటి అనగా, చాలా మంది మూలాధారమైనటువంటి స్థానంలో కుండలిని శక్తి అనేటువంటి సర్పము ఉంటుందని, క్రమక్రమేణా పైకి పెళ్లుతూ సహస్రార పద్మను చేరుతుందని కొంచెం యోగాభ్యాసం కలిసిన వాళ్ళు ఈ విధమైన మాటలతో ఉచ్చరిస్తుంటారు.
వాట్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ డస్ కుండలిని శక్తి మీన్? ఎక్స్పర్ట్స్ ఇన్ యోగిక్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్ సే దర్ ఈస్ అ సర్పెంట్ కాల్డ్ కుండలిని అట్ మూలాధార ఆర్ ద బేస్ అట్ ద బాటమ్ ఆఫ్ ద స్పైన్ అండ్ వెన్ అరౌస్డ్ దిస్ సర్పెంట్ గ్రాడ్యువలీ మూవ్స్ టు ఇట్స్ డెస్టినేషన్ సహస్రార.
ఈ ప్రాణాయామం అని చాలా మంది చేస్తుంటారు. ఈ ప్రాణాయామ సమయమునందు మనము ఒక గాలిని నిలబెట్టి కుంభకం చేస్తుంటారు.
మెనీ మెథడ్స్ ఆర్ అవైలబుల్ ఫర్ అవేకనింగ్ ద లేటెంట్ పవర్ ఆఫ్ కాన్షియస్నెస్, ప్రాణాయామ ఆర్ మెడిటేటివ్ బ్రీదింగ్ ఎక్సర్సైజెస్ బీయింగ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. ఇన్ దిస్ ప్రోసెస్ ఎయిర్ ఇస్ ఇన్హేల్డ్, హెల్డ్ ఫర్ సమ్ టైమ్ అండ్ దెన్ ఎక్సేల్డ్.
యోగాభ్యాస సమయమునందు మనం విడిచి తీసుకునేటువంటి గాలి యొక్క తత్వంలో కొంతవరకును గాలి స్తంభించిపోతుంది.
డ్యూరింగ్ ద రిటెన్షన్ పీరియడ్ breathing action is deliberately suspended as a part of pranayama and there is neither inhaling nor exhaling.
అనగా ఈ గాలి నిలిచిపోవడం చేత ఈ మూలాధారమైనటువంటి యొక్క చక్రమునకు క్రమక్రమైన గాలి లేకపోవడం చేత అది గాలి నిమిత్తమై పైకి వస్తుంది. సర్పము కాదు, ఇది కేవలం ఒక విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క విండ్, గాలి.
దిస్ హోల్డింగ్ ఆఫ్ బ్రెత్ స్టిములేట్స్ కుండలిని టు రైజ్ అండ్ ట్రావెల్ టు హైయర్ రీజన్స్. దేర్ ఇస్ నో సర్పెంట్ బట్ జస్ట్ ద స్టిములేషన్ ఆఫ్ కుండలిని పవర్ ట్రిగర్డ్ by the breath retention process.
కేవలం ఈ 33 యొక్క గ్రంథముల ద్వారా క్రమక్రమేణ తిరుగుతూ వస్తుంది. కనుక మనం ఈ యొక్క కుండలిని శక్తిని మనం చక్కగా చేర్చుకోవాలంటే మన యొక్క వెన్నెముకను స్ట్రెయిట్ గా పెట్టుకోవాలి.
When stimulated, kundalini power gradually makes its way upwards through the 33 rings. The spine is held erect in order to facilitate this ascent of the energy of consciousness.
అందుకోసమే యోగా అభ్యాసం చేసేటువంటి స్ట్రెయిట్ గా కూర్చుంటారు. అది చాలా మంచిది. మెమరీ పవర్ కూడా అందిస్తుంది, జ్ఞాపశక్తిని కూడా ఇస్తుంది, ఏకాగ్రతను త్వరగా కలిగిస్తుంది. కనుక మనం కూర్చోవటం కూడా ఒక పెద్ద క్రమశిక్షణే.
దిస్ ఇస్ ద రీజన్ వై యోగా ప్రాక్టీషనర్స్ మెయింటైన్ అన్ ఎరెక్ట్ పోస్చర్. Such a posture improves memory power and greatly enhances the ability to concentrate. Sitting erect is thus a part of discipline.
ఈ క్రమశిక్షణ మనకు సక్రమంగా జరగాలంటే దీనికి కొన్ని విధమైనటువంటి పరిశుద్ధతలు ఉంటున్నాయి. మొట్టమొదట
ఫస్ట్
మన దేహాన్ని పరిశుద్ధం చేసుకోవాలి. ఏమిటి ఈ పరిశుద్ధము? నీటితో, సోపుతో, ఇంకొక మెటీరియల్ తో కాదు దీన్ని పరిశుద్ధం చేసుకోవటం. దేహము పరిశుద్ధము కావాలంటే సత్కర్మల్లో ప్రవేశించాలి.
టు అచీవ్ దిస్ డిసిప్లిన్ సర్టన్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ ఆర్ నెసెసరీ. టు స్టార్ట్ విత్, ద బాడీ మస్ట్ బి కెప్ట్ ప్యూర్. దిస్ డస్ నాట్ మీన్ క్లీనింగ్ ద బాడీ విత్ వాటర్ అండ్ అ గుడ్ సోప్. రాదర్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ దట్ ద బాడీ మస్ట్ బి ప్రిపేర్డ్ బై ఎంగేజింగ్ ఇన్ గుడ్ యాక్షన్స్.
సత్కర్మల వల్లనే దేహం పరిశుద్ధమవుతుంది. కర్మశ్చ వల్లనే చిత్తశుద్ధి కలుగుతుంది. మన థాట్స్ వల్ల మనసును పరిశుద్ధం చేసుకోవాలి. ఈ రెండింటినీ మనం పరిశుద్ధం చేసుకున్నప్పుడు బుద్ధి ఎప్పుడు కూడా పరిశుద్ధంగానే ఉంటుంది.
When the mind is absorbed in good thoughts, it becomes purified. Good thoughts get translated into good actions, which then purify the body. It is through such purity of thought and action that the buddhi or the power of spiritual discrimination gets strengthened.
There is so much more to this discourse. I played for you only a 5-minute clip. Maybe in the next episode I will play for you again a short clip, because this discourse is a very powerful one, a very pertinent one and very focused one on discipline. There is so much to dwell on it. We will do that the next time. So let's move on now in this program. The beautiful aspect of Swami is how he used to use various means and methods to convey these precious lessons. Delivering discourses was only one way how he used to do this. So besides this, he used to give many opportunities of interactions to students. He used to create many scenarios through dramas, through sports, through music programs, through bhajans, through Vedam chanting, and in all these sessions, all he was doing is instilling these life lessons. For example, he had once reprimanded a student in the interview room to not talk too much. The student took that seriously and he talked the minimum the next few weeks. But after 15 days or so, when he was with Bhagwan again, Swami said, "You are talking too much." And now the student was perplexed because he had followed Swami's instruction and he has been keeping quiet. But then Bhagwan pointed to his head and said, "You are talking there. It is not calm there." So that is how Bhagwan was instilling in him, a school student in class 8, how he has to learn to keep his thoughts calm, how he has to learn to ensure that the waves of thoughts that assail his mind, that the sea of his mind has to be calm, how he has to learn to calm down the waves. So that is how Swami was constantly training, and he used to always open new avenues so that students can interact with him, and through these methods and means and sessions, he chiseled their personalities. And one such amazing avenue that Swami crafted for the students was his visits to various places. He always took along with him a group of students wherever he went, and the kind of impact these extraordinary opportunities which Swami had on the students is really phenomenal. In this month of June, 36 years ago, Swami made his 12-day historic trip to the heavenly and picturesque and beautiful state of Jammu and Kashmir. That happened in June 1980, and in the previous two episodes of this program, we started our discussion on this beautiful journey, this beautiful odyssey with Sai. In the first episode, we shared how it is such a privilege to be with Swami in the high mountains of the Himalayas, where nature is at its best. And we also shared with you the genesis of this trip, how Bhagwan had indicated about this journey to Kashmir more than 10 years ago. All this we covered in the first episode. In the second episode, the story went on to how actually the trip materialized, how Swami had picked 17 students and along with himself it was the divine number of 18, and how it was for the students to be with Bhagwan in the sky, in the plane, how the Lord never had a moment of rest and how he was always only giving, 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 be it to the crew of the plane or to the devotees waiting for him at the ground. We also shared with you how politicians of all hues gathered to see him in Delhi. So on June 2nd, 1980, Swami was in Delhi. We shared with you how the devoted couple, Mr. Rajesh Khanna and Mrs. Asha Khanna, had been preparing for weeks for Bhagwan's stay at a home in Srinagar. Swami leaves for Srinagar on the morning of June 3rd with a stopover at Chandigarh. At 9 a.m., Swami reaches Jammu, the city of temples. General Malhotra and his staff welcome Swami with great love and surrender. Swami then travels to Udhampur, where he was to reside in the official residence of General Malhotra. There, he is again welcomed warmly by Mrs. Prem Malhotra. And that evening, there is a public meeting arranged, and all the people there, especially the army personnel, they just break their shyness and they exult in joy and bliss and they sing along with Swami. So happy, full-throated, they become one in joy with the Lord as Swami ended his inspiring discourse. On June 4th, Swami proceeds to Srinagar with General Malhotra beside him and Colonel Berry on the wheels. And now even as the journey is proceeding, after a while, Swami suddenly stops the car and to everyone's surprise and delight, he gets into the bus following him, the bus in which all his students were there. And now the joy of the students knew no bounds because the Creator started showing them, became the tour guide. He was showing them the beautiful creation around. They were seeing the hills and dales and rivers of the Himalayas with Bhagwan, and then the magnificent welcome at Srinagar. How the people were so ecstatic that they covered the entire path with rose petals. Swami and the students literally walked on a bed of rose petals. And that is how Swami entered Prasad Villa, the residence of General Malhotra, which had become the Lord's temporary abode. And how Swami insisted that the Malhotras continue to stay with him in the same place, in the same bungalow. And how Srinagar was bubbling with divine ecstasy, and how people from all corners flooded to touch him, to see him, to be with him, to present their prayer, to receive his blessing and benediction, to just have the opportunity to see him once at close quarters, to touch his feet. How all humanity there melted into one in devotion for him. So that's where we had stopped in the last episode. We'll continue from there in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and we continue our discussion on the spectacular saga of Sai in Kashmir. So Swami is in Kashmir now, and people were braving the biting chill in the mornings, and they were waiting for him to emerge, and the benevolent Lord never ever disappointed them. Every morning he would go out and he would give himself fully to the devotees. But the stream of visitors was unending. Army personnel, businessmen, villagers, hermits, sadhus, children, as well as the sick, the lame, the distressed, representatives of every kind of humankind. Every type of humankind, they were there to bask in the generosity of divinity. Mr. Kamal Sahani recalls, the climax was reached on a Thursday when Bhagwan visited the army auditorium. The entire place was full of soldiers and officers. To be able to move a centimeter was indeed a luxury. Swami had to stand on the doorstep of the car to wave his blessings to all the people, and they responded back by filling the atmosphere with shouts of Jai, Jai, Jai Bhagwan, Jai Sai Bhagwan, Jai Bolo Bhagwan, Jai Bolo Bhagwan, Shri Satya Sai Baba Ji Ki Jai. It felt as if the whole humanity, Mr. Kamal Sahani says, it felt the whole humanity was paying its tribute to the Divine Master. Such was the glory of Sai in the crest of India, which he had briefly visited only once before in 1957, that too only for 2 days. Mrs. Asha Khanna, who had the chance of watching the Lord at close quarters, says, "And Swami was not the godly figure that you see. He was so relaxed. He was agile. He was ever active. You could communicate with him as if he was your closest one, as if he were just a member of your family, as if he were just one of yourself. So close." Well, that is how the Lord made everyone feel. Everyone felt connected with him at a very deeper level. Everyone felt that they know him. Everyone felt that he is their own. He is their indweller.
Antaranga Sai, Anath Nath Sai.
Antaranga Sai, Anath Nath Sai.
Antaranga Sai, Anath Nath Sai. Dinabandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai.
Dinabandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai.
Dinabandhu Sai, Karuna Sindhu Sai. Antaranga Sai, Anath Nath Sai.
Antaranga Sai, Anath Nath Sai.
Rama Krishna Shiva Shakti, Prema Rupa Sai. Krishna Shiva Shakti Prema Rupa Sai. Yuga Avatar Baba Sri Satya Sai.
Mrs. Ratan Lal adds, some days after breakfast, Swami would just walk into the garden, absolutely in leisure, and play with the flowers and trees. He would pluck a berry here, touch a flower there, just be himself, so carefree and happy. And later the boys would come and all would sit down in the garden in a beautiful nice circle. every morning after breakfast, General Malhotra would discuss with Swami the day's program, and that is when the schedule for the day would be chalked out. After the regular morning darshan every day, it was a visit to a hill station or a mountain, to a garden or a guest house, to a resort or a river. On the day of Bhagwan's arrival, the hosts and others requested Swami to visit Shalimar Garden. Shalimar Garden, a UNESCO World Heritage Site known for its sweeping vistas over gardens and lakes and shallow terraces. But Swami refused. Swami said, "See, it is a well-maintained and beautiful garden with natural springs. If I go there, there will be a mad rush of people and it will ruin the garden." But the devotees and the boys continued to plead, and somehow Swami reluctantly agreed. The plan was to go there early in the morning when the city was not fully awake. So at 7 in the morning, Swami along with the boys was at the gates of Shalimar Gardens. Though the boys had sweaters and other add-ons to save themselves from the chill and the fog, the Lord was His usual self, no shawl or cover over His robe. In fact, Swami did not use even a pair of footwear. As the huge gates were opened in the wee hours of the morning, especially for Swami, and as the boys entered its vast premises, a thought crossed in some of the students' minds. Swami said, "There will be a lot of people, but here there is no one, there is no other soul except us." In fact, the watchman was still in sweet slumber. A few boys thought of waking him up and awakening him to the great opportunity that has come his way, but they dismissed the idea because they were not sure of what would be Swami's possible reaction. So the group strolled along with Swami into the garden, and suddenly the watchman woke up. Something happened and he opened his eyes, he rubbed his eyes and he watched the scene. And then the next moment he hurried to a nearby rose bush, he picked up a rose, he carefully broke a branch which had three beautiful roses. He ran towards Swami, offered the flowers at his lotus feet and fell at his feet. The boys just watched, transfixed to the spot. It was as if they were saying to each other, "Oh wow, and we thought we will educate him about Swami." They were in bewilderment and bliss. Swami continued to gently stride along as if nothing had happened, and now, after a few yards, from the opposite direction, the students saw that there were two modern youngsters with long hairs and carefree attitude at all, and they were walking towards Bhagwan. Somehow, intentionally or accidentally, they possibly had spent the night in the garden itself, and now they were approaching Swami, and their gait and their walk had no sign of reverence for Bhagwan. So the boys were now very perturbed. Now they were getting ready to move these youngsters away from Bhagwan's path because they were not sure if the youngsters would respect Swami. And even as they were getting ready to quote-unquote protect Swami from those two youngsters, suddenly they saw something which stunned them. All of a sudden, this pair turned around, broke two branches, picked up two roses, and now rushed to Bhagwan and placed those roses at Bhagwan's feet and fell flat on the ground. Like this, every moment that morning was a roller coaster ride of shock and surprise, reverence and revelation. And it was not over yet. After they had walked about 200 yards, noise of a slight commotion wafted from behind, and now when the boys turned around, what did they see? Hundreds of eager folk jumping the gate and some even the parapet walls, and now hastily plucking flowers and rushing towards Swami with loud shouts of "Baba, Babaji ki darshan, Babaji darshan do, Babaji darshan do." It was such a huge shock. From where did all the people come so early in the morning? We thought nobody knows about it. And Swami immediately turned to the boys and said, "Didn't I tell you about this yesterday? You did not listen. See, now when all these people come and if the garden is spoilt, people will say Sai Baba spoiled the garden." And so the next moment, Swami did a complete U-turn and he returned immediately to Prasad Villa, but not before instructing the boys to get back. Boys to get back only after seeing the beautiful Mughal garden, which was spread over 2.4 hectares and it was actually nicknamed as Garden of Love. So their sai had gone, and without their sai there was no love in the hearts of the students. There was no life in their bodies to sightsee the great garden. So they went around placidly only to obey Swami, and they returned to his residence quickly with their spirits soured and their heads down. They had never ever expected such surging crowds, and that too early hours in the morning when it was biting cold. There was absolutely no publicity of Swami's visit to the unique valley. In fact, the Chief Minister of Kashmir, Mr. Sheikh Abdullah, pleaded with Swami to permit him to announce his presence in the capital city of Srinagar, but Swami flatly refused. Swami seemed to tell him, "As it is, there are thousands everywhere. Do you realize what will happen if you broadcast this news?" And that evening, to pep up the students, to stimulate and restore their sunken hearts, Swami sent all the boys to the Srinagar market. And as they were all men in whites, the boys thought that the shopkeepers would probably think of them as a cricket team, because in those days, all the cricket players used to wear only whites. So once they approached a shop, the shopkeeper asked, "Where do you come from?" And the boys hesitatingly said, "We come from Puttaparthi." They were not sure if the vendor would connect with the place, whether they would know anything about Puttaparthi. But that trader, he just exclaimed with joy writ large on his face. He said, "Oh, Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi, Baba's ashram, Baba's ashram, come, 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 please come." It was a continuous experience of overwhelming love as each shop owner obsequiously invited them to their shop. They felt that if these boys picked up something from our shop, we would have Baba's blessings. They had a royal welcome to every shop they went. The boys were humbled, to say the least. The story of the glory of the Lord was as infinite as the Lord himself. Everybody seemed to know Sai. It was as if Sai Baba was ruling each of their hearts. Sai Baba needed no introduction. Sai Baba was already there in their lips and in their minds. Sai Baba was there in their lives, taking care of them. The love for Sai was so overwhelming.
चरण कमल पर शीश नवाऊं अर्पण करूं तुझे नमस्कार भक्ति भाव की ये स्वर माला कर लेना बाबा स्वीकार। सकल भुवन के दाता साईं बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता साईं बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता साईं बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता
the days to come, the boys were only left more delighted and dazed. On the morning of the next day, Swami as usual blessed the hungering crowd in front of Prasad Villa with his beatific smiles and benedictory acts of grace. Once in a while, that tiny brown hand would move in circles, and in a gentle stream, vibhuti would fill the cupped palms of a crying soul. The leelas and the mahimas, those divine sport and the manifestations of the Lord, they were ceaseless, Mr. Kamal Sahani says. But there were some incidents which were remarkable for their uniqueness, because they were reminiscent of those days when Swami performed these leelas on the sands of Chitravati, where wonders and wonders were witnessed. What Mr. Kamal Sahani was referring to was what happened in Dachigam, the most charming dale of Kashmir, surrounded on all sides by emerald green grass, decorated with flowers growing everywhere, spotted with elegant trees, inhabited by a myriad varieties of colorful birds. Dachigam is a sylvan resort of rare beauty. Once upon a time, it was the private entertainment estate of the King of Kashmir, Maharaj Hari Singh. After Kashmir became a part of independent India, the chief minister of the state controlled the area. General Malhotra had obtained special permission from the chief minister, and given how sylvan the place was, he wanted Swami to spend a couple of days in that exquisite resort. But the Lord said, "No, I am not going to stay there for 4 to 5 days, but I will definitely go there." Therefore, after the morning darshan on June 6th, Swami along with his students proceeded towards this slice of unsullied nature that was Dachigam, almost 30 kilometers away from Srinagar. Mr. Ramkrishna Reddy jubilantly recalls, "We passed through 20 kilometers of apple orchards. Once we reached the special guest house, we were really taken aback with the awesome scene. It was nestled literally in the lap of nature. Mountains covered it on three sides. A tiny creek flowed down just beside the building and the roses. There were flowers everywhere in all hues and colors and sizes and shades. Really, if nature enchanted you, you could not be in a better place on earth. Even the walls of the rooms inside were laid with special bark, just like it was done on the outside." But the special house did not excite the Lord. The Lord relished being outside. A few minutes passed and Swami sat on a small chair placed outside the chinar tree. The tree apparently changed the colors of its leaves 5 times a year. And Mr. Kamal Sahani narrates, "As we sat surrounding the Lord in that serene setting, Swami started speaking very casually to a few of us, and then suddenly, as if struck with an idea, Swami asked General Malhotra, 'Is there any sand here?' The general said, 'Yes, Swami, there is a small creek nearby, and there is little sand on its bank, but not too much sand.' Swami said, 'No problem, that's enough, let's go there. You know, I used to do wonders on the sands of Chitravati. I will now show you how I used to do it. Come, let's go.' And so, the entire troop reached that spot and Swami sat on the sand cross-legged like a small child playing with the sands. And as the group excitedly watched, Swami made the sand even and next made it into a mound. He poured more sand, made it flat again, and then drew a small figure, a sketch with his tiny finger, plastered that artwork with more sand on top of it, and then dipped his fingers inside the tiny mound which he had just created, and out came from that mound of sand is this golden plate with beautiful and exquisite images of Lord Badri Narayan and Goddess Lakshmi standing. The sands were still wet, sticking to it. Swami shook the sands mildly and then handing it over, Swami said, 'Pass it around.' Everyone with big eyes and open mouths, they just touched, adored, and they were worshipping this fresh creation of the Lord. And Swami was sitting there with all bliss, all contentment, that divine contentment of giving that joy to his students and devotees. And he was as calm as ever. He had given them a darshan of Lord Badri Narayan and Goddess Lakshmi. Narayana himself was showing them his beautiful form."
Padmanabha Narayana, Padmanabha Narayana, Padmanabha Narayana.
So the Sai Narayana's Leelas continued. This was not all. A few more blissful moments passed on the sands, and then the Lord inquired, "Does anyone have a pen?" And immediately someone handed over to Swami a pen. Now Swami took that in his hands and now started using it as a stylus. So his artwork on the sand started again. A round motion, a touch here, a finish there, and his empty hands again dug into the sketch that he had freshly created. He put his beautiful fingers into the sand, and what is it going to come? Everyone's heart stopped beating. Everyone was craning their necks. Cameras were ready. Everyone was gazing with wide-eyed expectation. What is going to come up next? What is the spectacle that Swami is going to show us? And Swami did not disappoint. Out emerged a beautiful 2-inch crystal linga. A linga bigger than a duck's egg, white, round and resplendent. Swami held it up high with the sun as a background. And how it shone, unspeakable delight. What a moment. And then Swami revealed, "This is Amarnath Lingam. This is the true one installed by Shankaracharya. What you see there in the Amarnath shrine on the outside, that is only ice. This is the true Amarnath Lingam." And then Swami added, "One has to walk 20 kilometers on snow to reach Amarnath. How can you go? That's why I brought it for you, for your sake." Mr. Kamal Sahani says, "The kind Lord then so lovingly showed it to each one of us. We did not know how to thank the Lord. We just stared at him speechless with awe, with gratitude, with deep love." And recalling that day, General Malhotra says, "According to me, this was the best day in the whole trip of Kashmir. The serenity of Dachigam and the superb leelas of the Lord. What an incredible day." Absolutely, the Lord blessing them with the darshan of Amarnath Lingam. Then showing them Narayana, now showing them Shiva, the same Hiranyagarbha, giving them glimpses of his divine forms.
Akshayalinga, 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 Akshayalinga,
On the agenda for the next day, June 7th, was Gulmarg, one of the most splendid resorts of India. Gul means flower, and just as the name suggests, it was literally a valley of flowers. Swami spent some time lost in the maze of colors there, and then Mr. Sohanlal suggested to Swami to visit Kilanmarg, located nearby on a higher altitude, which is known for the beauty and majesty of its snow-covered peaks. But for this, one had to take the ropeway. So Swami and the group went to the rope station, but the Lord just could not come out of the car. People were everywhere. People thronged to his presence. So there was no option. There was no way Swami could get out of the car. So Swami simply drove back. And he just asked the organizers to ensure that the boys at least see the snow. So the boys took the flight on the heavenly ropes, and they were stunned. They were stunned to see the snowy beauty. After passing through forests of snow-smeared trees on horses, they reached a plain, and it was miles and miles of clear snow. They could not resist the temptation to play, and they were lost in that ice game that they were playing with each other. It was a never-before experience for them. They were so lost in that joy, in being in that beauty of the moment, in the snow everywhere, they became oblivious to everything around. And for those moments, unfortunately, they even forgot Swami, perhaps, because soon they lost track of time. 12 p.m. turned into 1 p.m. and they had not had anything for lunch. But they were not hungry, they did not bother. They were not thinking about themselves, but someone else was bothered about them. But Swami was getting concerned. He was asking the general, "Where are the boys? Where are the boys?" And now frantic efforts were made to send message to the boys. Those were not the days of mobile phones, so somehow the message was communicated to the boys that Swami was waiting for them. Swami was concerned about them. So Colonel Berry, who was also there around at this time, he recalls how Swami was so uneasy. He says, "Actually, that gave me jitters, because Swami always referred to the boys as my children." And he says, "I could in that instant see the mother in Swami. It was so patent. He was like a mother hen pacing up and down, watching, waiting, looking out for her little ones." And Mrs. Ratanlal recalls, Swami did not have his lunch that day. He was waiting for the boys. And when the boys finally returned, Mrs. Ratanlal asked the boys to come inside through the other door and first have the lunch and only then see Swami, because she felt that is what would make Swami happy. And when the boys were there in front of their plates, Swami came in. And Swami expressed his unhappiness for being so careless about time. And Swami said, "There are so many guests here, therefore I do not want to reprimand you." Mr. Ramakrishna Reddy says, "Swami's concern for us was phenomenal. You know, he may talk to anybody, he may go anywhere, but his thoughts are always centered on us." The next day, June 8th, Swami sent all the boys to visit Shankar Math, the temple visited by Sri Shankaracharya centuries ago. This was located very close to Prasad Villa, and even though Swami never visited that place, he saw it from far and he talked about it. He talked about it not only then, but 23 years later too, in an interview he gave to General Malhotra in 2003. Swami asked him, "Which was the temple located nearby the house we stayed?" And amusingly, the general could not recollect the name immediately. But before the interview ended, suddenly he recollected that name and he blurted out, he said, "Swami, Shankaracharya, Shankara Math." And then Swami smiled and said, "Right, right. Yes, it was Shankaracharya. It was Shankaracharya's place. He is the Shankara. He is the Sai. How he plays with us. And how every moment he wants to fill us with those memories. How he never wants us to forget those moments that we have spent with him. The beautiful, beatific Lord, Shiva Shankara Sai."
Shankar Naam Bhajo. Shankar Naam Bhajo. Shankar Shankar Naam Bhajo. Shankar Shankar Naam Bhajo. Shankar Shankar Naam Bhajo. Shankar Naam Bhajo.
So on June 8th, Swami did not travel anywhere, but he was extremely busy in Prasad Villa. The Chief Minister, Mr. Sheikh Abdullah, and his wife had called on him. When the boys returned, the interview had just concluded and they saw the tall and impressive Mr. Abdullah walk out of Swami's residence. Swami then introduced all the boys to the Chief Minister. Swami said, "They are my students. All of them are now teachers." And then looking at the boys, Swami said, "I know Sheikh Abdullah since a long time. I met him in Hyderabad 20 years ago." And Swami then posed for a few pictures with the dignitary couple. They were very grateful. In fact, Mr. Abdullah returned another day with his whole family. During one of these days, the then governor of Jammu and Kashmir, Mr. L.K. Jha and his wife, they too drove down to Prasad Villa seeking Swami's audience and blessings. And this was followed by the deputy chief minister and nearly 20 cabinet ministers. Swami was there all the time, giving and giving, no distinction to anyone, whoever came to his presence. He was just that Bholanath, that self who only wanted to just fill everyone with joy. He was that ever compassionate Sai Shiva. Everyone who came to him is a Dina. He is that Dina Natha Shankara, because everyone who came to him is a Dina. Everyone has that poverty. Everyone is poor. Everyone is steeped in that poverty of love. And here was love giving himself away, giving bits of himself away to everyone. Dear listeners, let's end this week's narration of this spectacular trip to the Himalayas with a beautiful bhajan where we express our gratitude to our Lord Shiva, to our Lord Sai Shiva, for this infinite mercy, for his infinite compassion.
Sai Nata Dinanatha Sai Nata Dinanatha Sai Nata Dinanatha Bharti Puri Swarupa Prema Avatara Shanta Swarupa Prema Avatara
of the recounting of this beautiful journey of Bhagwan to Kashmir. In the next episode, we will have the final session of recounting this beautiful odyssey of Bhagwan to Kashmir. It will have many interesting incidents, many more wonders, miraculous cures, and of course, tales of unending compassion. So all this and much more in the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout the day. If you have any queries or comments, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much. And with gratitude to Bhagwan for this beautiful opportunity of sharing his love, a sweet goodbye to each one of you. Jai Sai Ram.